श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। मनोनिवृत्तिः परमोपशान्तिः सातीर्थवर्या मणिकर्णिका च ज्ञानप्रवाहा विमलादिगङ्गा साकाशिकाहं निजबोधरूपा यस्यामिदं कल्पितमिन्द्रजालम् कल्पितमिन्द्रजालम् चराचरं भाति मनोविलासम् सच्चित्सुखैका परमात्मरूपा साकाशिकाहं निजबोधरूपा It's a request to all of you in the Shastra class, please be with the class. Even if you are not following, doesn't matter. If it's something else, it is disrespect to Shastra. Not for me. I'm requesting all of you. Yasyamidam kalpitamindrajalam. कल्पितमिन्द्रजालम् चराचरं भाति मनोविलासम् सच्चित्सुखैका परमात्मरूपा साकाशिकाहं निजबोधरूपा कोशेषु पञ्चस्वधिराजमाना कोशेषु पञ्चस्वधिराजमाना बुद्धिर्भवानी प्रतिदेहगेहम् साक्षी शिवः सर्वगतोऽन्तरात्मा साकाशिकाहं निजबोधरूपा It takes a great deal of time to get oriented towards this teaching. Otherwise, what happens? You really do not see the value of what is being done here. You do not see the value of what is being done here. You do not see. Then naturally, you are in your own world. And you want to do whatever you want to do. Because you don't know the value of what you're missing here, isn't it? It is not that you don't even know that you are disrespectful. Not knowing, if you know, you will not do that. Isn't it? That is why the Vedanta teaching, it takes great, very long time. Very, very long time to see how repetitive teaching is something always contributes for enhancement of clarity, isn't it? It's not something I think is newly learned here. Because Swami says from day one, the 6 months course, 3 years course, the same subject matter is repeatedly discussed. But see how gradually clarity enhances. That's why Atma Jnanam is not an event happening in time. It's not an event, is it? Okay, on a particular day, suddenly this person is attaining enlightenment. We don't say that. That's not true. Now, who has to go and sit in some under tree somewhere on a particular day, and the people celebrate the day of enlightenment. Can you believe it? Some people celebrate it, the Guru's day of enlightenment. It is not an event happening. It is the gradual enhancement of clarity. Okay, the more you listen, the more you listen, the more you listen. System, not that going and like piling up a load of rocks, isn't it? And I told you once the difference between systematic study and simply going to different places. See, we are not student collecting, organizers. We are not interested in simply grabbing teachers, students, holding for ourselves. No. Doesn't matter which person you are studying with, okay? One must continue to study with teacher, same teacher. Very important. Understand? Why? Because, I mean, same sampradaya at least. Because it takes, you can study with anybody. You are free to go to any teacher, study with anybody, no problem. The idea is, because certain way, it has to be in the class continuously to listen to the teaching. As you learn, see, how many of you should say this? Now, what is the difference between studying systematically, regularly, and what is it, and simply going and listening to or reading any number of books? So why should I attend the classes? I have so many books available in the market. I can go and buy the books and read. I can go to YouTube. I can go to Instagram. I can go to Facebook. A lot of information available. I can listen to many Swamis are talking. Many lecturers are. Countless number of scholars are there. They're all giving talks everywhere. Why should I not go and listen? I can still listen. I can gather information. No? Now, the difference between this is, of course, you're gathering information there also. Because teachers are there, great teachers who are talking. I'm not saying no. What the difference is, systematically, regularly studying means it is like you're buying one load of bricks, okay, and having a mason. And if you have a plan, proper plan of the house, and then you lay the stones one by one, layer after layer, and gradually you make a wall. One load of stones, now bricks, is in the form of the walls. And you put a roof on the top, it is a house. Suppose you go and listen, simply gather information. That's also equivalent to one load of bricks, no difference. It's like having a heap of bricks. Okay, heap of bricks you have in one place. What happens? Heap of bricks. Here also heap of bricks. One load of bricks. Here also one load of bricks. Here you have a heap of one load of bricks. Okay, put in a corner. You can say, see, I have so much of information from so many people. I have one load of bricks I have gathered here. This person will say, I also got one load of bricks. It's a beautiful, standing up for warm. It serves a purpose. It serves a purpose, isn't the purpose. This is the difference between systematic study and simply picking up any topic, listening here, listening there, and gathering information. It's not a story, okay? It's just a fact. So what happens, sometimes very painful to see the people not focusing, doing something else, because such a precious time, isn't it? Even if you do not know the value, because you're not able to relate to it also. Better at least see that, you know, you're with the text. You're not doing something else. You're not listening. Kosheshu panchasvadhira jamana पञ्चस्वधिराजमानः बुद्धिर्भवानी प्रतिदेहगेहम् साक्षी शिवः सर्वगतोऽन्तरात्मा साकाशिकाहम् निजबोधरूपा साकाशिकाहम् निजबोधरूपा काश्याम् हि काशते काशी हि काशते काशी काशी सर्वप्रकाशिका साकाशी विदिता येन तेन प्राप्ता हि काशिका तेन प्राप्ता हि काशिका काश्याम् हि काशते काशी हि काशते काशी काशी सर्वप्रकाशिका साकाशी विदिता येन तेन प्राप्ता हि काशिका. Okay. So we're just going to be dwelling upon the sub-meaning of the word Kashi. In the very first verse, Kashi was meant as a Kashika. So Kashika, Kashi, both these words mean the same. And here we are seeing the verb also, Kashyate. Kashi Kashyate. Kashi Kashyate means, here the word Kashi does not mean the pure awareness, pure consciousness as it meant in the first verse. Kashi means anything which shines. That which shines is Kashi. So, as I said, Kashi again, Strilinga Shabdaha, Ikaranta, Strilinga Kashi Shabdaha. Feminine and non-gender word, feminine word ending with the vowel E. So, kashate iti kashi, kashaha asyaha asti iti kashi. That which has effulgence is kashi and that which shines is kashi. So, here please make a note, if shines means what? Shines means it enjoys existence. Kashate bhati. Kashate is equal to bhati. The verb bhati. Shines. Shines means what? It is available for experience. If you say chair is, means chair enjoys existence. But chair kashate means what? Chair shines means vilanguhirathu in Tamil we say. What does it mean? It shines means it's available for experience. If it doesn't shine, it doesn't shine means what? It is not available for experience. Shines, the problem is shines does not mean some glowing or glittering, not that way. Shines means it is, in Tamil exact word is vilanguhirathu, isn't it? Shines means that it's available for experience, enjoyment, interaction, isn't it? Or experience, that is shines. If it doesn't shine, it doesn't shine means what? It may be there, it is not available for experience, isn't it? It is not, suppose an object shines means object is not covered in darkness, does not remain in covered in darkness. It's not unknown, it is known, it's available for experience. That is the meaning Kashi. Okay, but first they said Kashi means what? Because that is the absolute reality which is always shining is Kashi. But here Kashi, Kashi Kashate in this verse, Kashi means that which shines. So here this body, mind, sense complex is also Kashi. Jagat is also Kashi. Kashi Kashyate. So the body, mind, sense complex or this world having the status of being existent, now it shines. It shines. But for it to shine, it cannot shine by itself. It shines after some other light. Isn't it? Jagat Bhati means Kashi Kashyate means Jagat Bhati. Or this Karyakarana Sanghataha Bhati. Karyakarana Sanghataha means body, mind, sense complex shines. The object Anatma Prapanchaha shines. Anatma body, mind, sense complex shines. But we know very well the Anatma, the Anatma in terms of body, mind, sense complex or even the objective universe does not have independent existence of its own, because it doesn't have consciousness of its own. It cannot shine by itself. It shines means definitely it shines in the light of awareness. It shines in the light of pure light of consciousness, the light of knowledge, the light of awareness. And there must be light, isn't it? Only then it can shine. Just as the world of opaque things shines in the presence of light. So also this world of this objective universe of material forms, names and functions, including one's body, mind, sense complex, shines in the light of consciousness, in the light of knowledge, in the light of awareness. So the first word Kashyam, Kashyam is what? In the light of consciousness. The self-effulgent, self-revealing light of consciousness. This objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex, which does not have light of its own, like consciousness of its own, shines. Means enjoys existence. This is the meaning of the first sentence. Kashyam, Kashi, Kashyate. Kashi, Kutra, Kashyate. Kashi, Kashyam, Kashyate. So Kashyam is light of consciousness, light of awareness. In the light of awareness, consciousness, this Kashi now shines. Okay? Dhanatma Prapanchaha shines. And Kashi, the Kashi in which the Kashi, the light of the awareness, the pure awareness, the consciousness in which the objective universe shines, that awareness is Sarvaprakashika. Sarvaprakashika means all illumining. Sarvam prakashayati iti sarvaprakashika. All illumining. All illumining means what? It illumines time. It illumines space. It illumines elements. It illumines elementals. It illumines living beings. It illumines non-living things. It illumines mobile, immobile beings. It illumines the entirety of the objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex. Illumines means what? Brings to light. Brings to light means lends existence. Without this all-illumining consciousness, this anatma prapancha, including one's body, mind, sense complex, would remain non as good as non-existent. Therefore, Kashi Sarvaprakashika. And this is, what is that Kashi? Sa Kashi, that Kashi in which the anatma prapanchaha, including one's body, mind, sense complex shines, that Kashi, which is all illumining, that Kashi, that all illumining awareness consciousness, okay, should be recognized, should be discovered. As what? How can one discover that light of consciousness in the presence of which, because of the blessing of which, the entire anatma prapanchaha, the material world of objects, including one's body, mind, sense complex, shines, enjoys the status of being existent, whole life itself is possible, that Kashi it has to be recognized, discovered by a human being. On this, how one should discover? Have you discovered as one's own Swarupam? That Kashi is available for recognition as one's own Swarupam, not as an object. So the one who has discovered that Kashi as the very Swarupam of I the knower, and one who has resolved his identity in that consciousness, aware, light of consciousness, by him, Kashika Prapta, by him, actually, the so-called pilgrim center called Kashi has been re-attained as it were. Kashika Prapta, Tena Prapta Kashika. Yena Sa Kashi Vidita, the one by whom that Kashi has been discovered, known, Tatena by him, Kashika Prapta, that Kashi has been attained. See, knowing is attaining. How can you attain Bhagavat Swarupam, Ishwara Swarupam? How can you attain the reality? How can you attain the reality? Reality can never be attained because you are never away from reality. What can be attained is anything which is away from you, other than you. Attainment of something is possible only if what is attained is away from you, other than you. What is be attained if it is already your own Swarupam? How can you attain it? Can you ever attain yourself? Because that Kashi, that all-illumining Kashi, Sarvaprakashika Kashi, all-illumining, this light of consciousness, being all pervasive, being one secondless reality, is always there as the very innermost essence of every being here. Therefore, as a spiritual aspirant, is available for the spiritual aspirant as one's own Swarupam, as the very Swarupam of the I, the knower. Therefore, it's available, therefore, it cannot be attained. So, it has to be discovered. And the one by whom that all illumining Kashi, the aware light of consciousness, has been discovered, by him the Kashi has been attained as it were. Tena Kashika Prapta. This is the verse. Okay. And this is what actually journey of a soul towards moksha. As it were, it's not real journey. It's a journey like yatra iva yatra. So Kashi yatra becomes really completed when you discover that Kashinathaha being your own Swarupam. This is the meaning of this verse. Is it clear? Move on to the next verse. Kashyam hi kashate Kashi. Kashyam hi kashate Kashi. Kashi sarva prakashika. Kashi sarva prakashika. Sa Kashi viditayena. Tena prapta hi kashika. Okay, now concluding verse, the fifth verse. Now here Shankara Bhagavatpada generally says, so all the idea of going on a pilgrimage in Hindu, the Vedic tradition, Hindu tradition, is one of the customs is that people go on a pilgrimage. And Tirtha Kshetrani, Punya Kshetrani, go to many places. In life, once in a lifetime, at least people from the south, they arrange for treatment, they travel to the north of all the Punya Kshetrani, the pilgrim centers, they visit. From north, people come to the south also. From north, people come to Rameshwaram, Madurai, they visit here. From here, people go from south to north, Badri Kedar, Chardham Yatra, Kashi, you know, people go. So, and it's a beautiful custom we have. Whoever goes to Kashi, okay, and they have to bring Ganga Jalam and they do Namaskar, Abhishekam for Shiva in Ramana, Rameshwaram. And people who are goes to comes to Rameshwaram, they take this Ganga, this Samudra Jalam, ocean water from Rameshwaram, supposed to go back to Kashi and Abhishekam then. Idea is to keep the whole of Indians, all Indians to be united. Okay, spiritually united. Though different states, different languages, different customs, still we are spiritually united. Okay, because the whole, the dharma, the way of life followed all over India, the entity of the Bharata Desha is Vaidika Dharma. So it is Vaidika Dharma which keeps the whole country together as one nation, isn't it? That's the idea. Anyway, so what I want to say here, here's Shankara Bhagavatpada, what he says in this verse, fifth verse, these all kshetratanams, once you discover your own swarupam being the Atma. What is Atma? All pervasive, abstract, formless reality, which is ever of the nature of consciousness, implied by the term Atma, is your swarupam. If you say, if the wave happens to speak, he has to say what? I, the wave, am the water. That's what the wave should say. I, the wave, am the water. And the entire ocean is the water. Therefore, I, the wave, am the whole ocean. Understand? The wave can say, I, the wave, am the whole ocean. How? Which is a wave and the whole ocean. I am the whole. The wave can say, don't stretch, okay, examples. Don't ask me whether the wave speaks and all that. So if the wave says, I am the whole ocean, I am the whole, the wave can say, how? Not from the standpoint of the form, name and function called wave, but wave, when its waveness is resolved in water. There's no wave other than the water. If the wave discovers a swarupam being water, then from the wave's identity must be with what? Water, not with the form. The wave can say what? I, the wave, am the water. Then the wave can say what? The same water is the truth of the entirety of devotion. From the standpoint of the truth, the reality of the wave and the water, the wave and the ocean are one and the same. There's no difference. So having resolved the difference between wave and ocean from the standpoint of the water, the wave can say what? I, the wave, am the whole ocean. There's no wave-ocean difference. Wave-ocean difference is only from the standpoint of the form, name and function. The standpoint of the truth without which there cannot be wave, there cannot be ocean. That water, there's no difference. There's only non-difference. Abhedaha. So, rupataha, namataha, bhedaha. Swarupataha na bheda, abhedaha. This non-difference from the standpoint of the swarupam, whereas rupataha, the standpoint of the form and name, rupataha, namataha, there is bhedaha, there is difference. The standpoint of swarupam, there is non-difference. Similarly here, this jnani also, when jnani discovers one's own swarupam being, the swarupa of the entirety of the cosmos, Ishvara, then one can say what? Saha aham, I am that Ishvara. I am aham purnaha. I am the whole. Definitely a jnani can say, not from the standpoint of the body, mind, sense complex, but from the standpoint of the swarupa, from the standpoint of a true individual, the truth of aham, one can definitely say. If a person has discovered such a fact that oneness of the reality obtaining as one's own swarupam, if a person can resolve his individuality in totality, we can see one's own self being essentially non-different from Ishvara. Isn't it? One has to definitely discover this non-difference. Discovering one's own swarupam means discovering the non-difference. Discovering the non-difference. Discovering the non-difference, discovering one's own self being non-different from the whole. Then there's no more isolation possible. The differences will resolve. The divisions will resolve. From which standpoint? the standpoint of the Swarupa. Of course, divisions and differences are relative. Divisions are there, differences are there. We cannot say differences are not there at all. Differences and divisions are there, they're only relative. The relative means what? Mithya. Absolutely, there is no difference or whatsoever. There's no division or whatsoever. All that is here is one indivisible, undivided, partless, one way, secondless, non-dual reality, which is ever of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, existence, and implied by the term Atma or Brahma. Okay? This is the fact. Therefore, the jnani who has discovered such non-difference, in whose vision all that is there is only Brahma or only Ishvara, or in whose vision I itself am the whole, that vision is there, for such a person, all the pilgrim centers are himself. Okay, the pilgrim center, there's no need for him to go on a pilgrimage anymore. Maybe whatever pilgrimage this must have gone on before, that has served its purpose. Okay, means all the pilgrim centers are not anywhere outside. That is what Shankara Bhagavata says. I am not saying. Okay. Kashi Kshetram Shariram. Kashi Kshetram Shariram. Tribhuvana Janani Vyapini Jnana Ganga. Tribhuvana Janani Vyapini Jnana Ganga. Kashi Kshetram Shariram. Kshetram Shariram. Tribhuvana Janani Vyapini Jnana Ganga. Tribhuvana Janani Vyapini Jnana Ganga. Bhakti Shraddha Gayeyam. Bhakti Shraddha Gayeyam. Bhakti Shraddha Gayeyam. Nija Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayagaha. Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayagaha. Nija Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayagaha. Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayagaha. Vishveshoyam. 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 Turiya sakala jana manas sakshi bhutontaratma. Tontaratma. Vishveshoyam. Duriya sakala jana manas sakshi bhutontaratma. Sakshi bhutontaratma. Dehe sarvam madiye. Dehe sarvam madiye. Yadi vasati. Punastirthamanyat kimasti. Kimasti. I like this way of chanting for this particular verse. Kashi Kshetram Shariram. Tribhuvana Janani Vyapini Jnana Ganga. Vyapini Jnana Ganga. Bhakti Shraddha Gayeyam. Bhakti Shraddha Gayeyam. Nija Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayagaha. Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayagaha. Vishveshoyam. Vishveshoyam. Turiya Sakala Jana Manas Sakshi Bhutontaratma. Jana Manas Sakshi Bhutontaratma. Vishvesho, Vishvesho, Vishveshoyam, Vishveshoyam, or palatal shakara, is it? विश्वेशोऽयं तुरीयः सकलजनमनःसाक्षिभूतोऽन्तरात्मा विश्वेशोऽयं तुरीयः सकलजनमनःसाक्षिभूतोऽन्तरात्मा देहे सर्वं मदीये यदि वसति देहे सर्वं यदीये यदि वसति पुनस्तीर्थमन्यत् किमस्ति देहे सर्वं मदीये यदि वसति देहे सर्वं मदीये यदि वसति देहे सर्वं मदीये यदि वसति सर्वं मदीये यदि वसति पुनस्तीर्थमन्यत् किमस्ति पुनस्तीर्थमन्यत् किमस्ति पुनस्तीर्थमन्यत् किमस्ति पुनस्तीर्थमन्यत् किमस्ति होम दिस इज पर ज्ञानी आर यू जस्ट डिस्कस द ज्ञानी काशी क्षेत्रम शरीरम सी डोंट टेक ऑलरेडी ऑलवेज काशी मींस काशते इति काशी इज इट दैट विच शाइन्स इज काशी सो दैट विच शाइन्स इंडिपेंडेंटली इज प्योर अवेयरनेस कॉन्शियसनेस एब्स्ट्रैक्ट रियालिटी इंप्लाइड विद आत्मा ब्रह्म दैट विच शाइन्स डिपेंडेंटली इज अनात्म प्रपंच including body, mind and compass. Consciousness and matter. Matter shines not by its own consciousness. And then in the light of consciousness, it shines. The matter, when you say reduce the whole jagat into one word, matter, the material world shines. You say material world, it includes our body, mind and compass. And that which shines independently, that in the light of which it shines is Kashi. So both are Kashi. Understand now? Therefore, now he says, this kshetram, Kashi kshetram, which is a symbol of the pure awareness, isn't it? The Kashi kshetram, the city of Kashi, which is people go to, as most important of the pilgrim centers, the holiest of these pilgrim centers, that Kashi is actually my physical body. That Kashi kshetram, the symbol of the pure awareness, Atma Brahma, is what now? Is this physical body? This is the Kashi. That is city. That city is what? This is a city. The Navadwarapuram, this nine-gated city called body, is the Kashi. Kshetram, Kashi Kshetram is this physical body. So what now? For whom is it becomes a physical body? Only for a jnani, isn't it? त्रिभुवन जननी व्यापिनी ज्ञान गंगा नाउ गंगा इज देयर द गंगा इज फ्लोइंग द गंगा विच इज फ्लोइंग ऑल ओवर इन ऑल द पुण्य क्षेत्रम्स गंगा इज फ्लोइंग ऑल ओवर साउथ नॉर्थ ऑफ इंडिया इजंट इट राइट फ्रॉम हिमालयस इट गो इज फ्लोइंग इफ यू गो टू कलकत्ता यू गो टू मद्रास सॉरी नॉट मद्रास दिल्ली आई विश दिल्ली आई विश comes to Madras also. But Ganga was flowing from Coimbatore. You know that?
Yeah.
Of course, Swamiji was teaching. Jnana Ganga was flowing from Coimbatore. Okay. I used to tell the proud pride. Very proud of saying that. The real Jnana Ganga was flowing from Coimbatore, I used to say. That's why it's called Jnana Pravaha, isn't it? What I'm saying, that here, Jnana, the Ganga always symbolizes what? Two factors. I told you yesterday, two factors. Ganga actually is known for its unobstructed, constant, continuous flow. Any other river can become dry. Suddenly, the dry will disappear. Any other river can become dry. It's a small river, a stream, some problem comes, it can get dry. Sometimes with old floods. But Ganga is always, never does Ganga get dry. Continuously, constantly keeps on flowing for ages. Ganga is the river. That's why we say Jeevanadi. Jeevanadi means what? Blends life. All people, we can see fat Punjabi people, no? not Punjabi people. All Punjab, all this nothing in language. By fat people, what? Healthy people. I don't mean don't fat. Healthy, tall, big people. All wheat is what? Mother Ganga. It is Ganga to contribute for the irrigation of all those lands. That's why it's called Jeevanadi. Never gets dry. And always flowing, always flowing. And so the Ganga has been flowing. And therefore that Ganga, which keeps on flowing continuously, is a symbol of what? Flow of consciousness, flow of knowledge. Okay? The knowledge is flowing. How? For the knowledge to flow, what is flow of knowledge? Does it move? We say pure consciousness does not move. Consciousness is ever of the nature of what? Changelessness, actionlessness, all pervasiveness. How can it flow? Flowing means what? Flow, what flowing? What it means is manifestation. Okay, every time the pure consciousness becomes manifest, the manifestation is like a flow. How? It's not only only once. Becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest, again becomes manifest. There's a flow of manifestations. The manifestations of consciousness now have been there continuously, unobstructed. You can't say for some time the river wasn't flowing. Can you say that? Ganga, no. For some time we stopped. No, unless you build some dam, okay? It keeps on flowing. Nothing can obstruct the flow of Ganga. Similar, why? Because there's a huge river. Here, the consciousness also, we cannot prevent. How can we prevent? Consciousness, the abstract, for because of the abstractness, because of the subtleness, the such intelligent, brilliant Buddhists made the conclusion it is non-existent. Buddhists are not, okay, amazingly brilliant people, Buddhists. But still, because they could think, I'm not talking about all Buddhists, so-called Buddhists of nowadays, these days. Originally, the Buddhas, the followers who were really Nagarjuna, amazingly brilliant people. They were not using Shastra as the Pramana. They followed certain things, they could come, arrive at such very subtle facts. But still, they failed where? Because of this abstractness, formlessness, attributelessness of the reality, they thought nothing is there. They could not think little further. And the Shankar, no, but Advaitins, even before Shankar Bhagavatpada, from time immemorial, there has been this knowledge, what is that which is there abstractly, formlessly, because formless, attributeless, abstract, extremely, inexplicably subtlest, they decide what? It's not that. Why? Imperceptible through senses, inconceivable, mentally inconceivable, sensorily imperceptible, unobjectifiable, non-experienceable. Reality is not experienceable, not at all available for experience, because it's not an object. Being not an object, therefore, they conclude what? Shunyam. Nothing is there. Whereas, that which is their that abstractness, the reality which is of the nature of abstractness, formlessness, shapelessness, timelessness, and all pervasiveness, and inexplicable subtleness, that reality is of the nature of knowing. That is why there is knowledge possible. The knows, it knows. How does it know? How can it say abstracting knows? How can it say that no pramana, nothing? The mind knows when my mind needs pramana. Eyes are needed, your ears are needed, nose is needed, tongue is needed for the mind to know, isn't it? But what is the pramana that this consciousness has, the reality has to know? No pramana. Because for it, it's not an action, it is the swarupam. You have to think very well. It knows because knowing is the swarupam. Like what? Light illumines. Light illumines means what pramanam does the light need to illumine? What effort does the light make to illumine? Light is the substance. That is how light can be. That is how light is. It is the very nature. You cannot, what is nature again? What is Swarupam? Unchangeable is nature. You cannot make, convert the, do some discovery, something. Somehow I want to make this light. Okay, non-illumining. You can never make it. So illumining is the Swarupam of the light. It's the grossest example. It illumines because it's Swarupam. It's not an action. In the same way here, the abstract reality, which is of the nature of abstractness, formlessness, attributelessness. Where do you arrive at it? And when you distinguish it to Dridrishiveka Prakriya, using it, distinguished it, this knower, the known. Again, that knower analyze. That knower is there when in waking state there is knower, dim state there is knower, deep sleep state there is knower. You distinguish that knower again from the known states of experience. That knower experiencer, if you analyze, you will find here itself what is of the nature of formlessness. No formless, abstract, is it? Okay, that formless, attributeless, and that reality he knows. Understand? Just as light illumines, that there's something which is there, knowing, that knows. The knowing is just Swarupam. Being conscious is Swarupam. That's why that abstract, formless, attributeless reality obtained as, arrived at as one's own Swarupam. I say one's own Swarupam. Why do I say? When you resolve the I as the knower, look at the I, first person singular pronoun, you see the I as the knower. That knower, another than the abstractness. Therefore, I refers to the knower, not the known. Because knower is, there's no knower other than the abstract reality. Therefore, I am awareness. I am consciousness. Okay? Like wave is water, I is awareness. I is consciousness. That, even though consciousness also is the word which is used to reveal that reality in terms of its nature, isn't it? Therefore, this abstract formless reality is what now? The source of all knowledge. All knowledge. Source of all knowledge. This pure knowledge is the source of any knowledge. All knowledge. It's Vedajnanam or Paravidya or Aparavidya, Vedajnanam, all knowledge. All knowledge hidden in the Veda mantras, or any knowledge of anything, the source of knowledge is that one, the only absolute reality. And any knowledge which we have, okay, we talk about, I know I am, I know the world is, the knowledge of the existence of the self in the world, afterwards, knowledge of anything and everything in the world. Now, any number of discoveries can happen in any field, in so many disciplines, there's so much of wisdom. Whatever is discovered newly, or whatever has been discovered until now, all knowledge is what? Any knowledge is manifestation of that only source of knowledge. This fact is established only in Indian Vedic tradition. There's no other source of knowledge. People are trying to discuss so many things. What is the source of any manifestation of knowledge? Any new discovery, anything which has been already been discovered, that is what only manifestation of the knowledge which is already there. That is why in Veda Shastram, we know very clearly, knowledge, no knowledge of anything is created newly. What is knowledge? Knowledge is not newly, something newly created. This, see, suppose example, knowledge of this hardware of computer, okay, was not there for a long time. It was discovered. You can say the computer scientist discovered it, created it. It is not a creation. There's no knowledge is creation. There's no creation of knowledge of anything. So, knowledge is not created. No, knowledge is created. It can be knowledge pertaining to science or physics, chemistry, biology, or mathematics or biotechnology or technology, anything, any knowledge, okay? No knowledge is created. Which was all previously discovered much, much long ago, or being discovered, it will be discovered. Knowledge is always discovery. Knowledge is always there, already there, it remains covered. And that's why knowledge is discovery of what is knowledge. If discovery of what is knowledge means knowledge is already there. Already there means what? It remains unmanifest. It remains, when the knowledge remains, okay, non-experienceably, it is unmanifest. It becomes manifest, available for experience. So unmanifest becoming manifest is knowledge. If discovery of what is knowledge, unmanifest knowledge becoming manifest is what? Knowledge. Which means knowledge pertaining to, that's why the knowledge pertaining to the objective universe is what? So much. Whether it's knowledge of anything within the realm of anatma, or it is this knowledge of the atma, doesn't matter. Only the two factors reduce everything into two. The knower and the known, isn't it? The knowledge pertaining to atma, knowledge pertaining to anatma. Any knowledge has to what? Become manifest. If it has to become manifest, it's already there and unmanifest. What the knowledge which remains unmanifest alone becomes manifest, which is discovery of what is. If it unmanifest, it is already, it remains unmanifest, means there must be source of manifestation. What is that? What is that reality? What is that source of knowledge? Where the knowledge remains unmanifest and from where it becomes manifest. It must be there. Already knowledge is there means what is the source of knowledge where the knowledge remains unmanifest, from where knowledge becomes manifest. That source of all knowledge is what? Abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest reality, which is arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing, as the swarupam of the I, the knower, in one's own mind, as one's own self. Okay? That is, that even though it's arrived at in one's own mind, that is, what is that reality? It's not just here. It is there, inside and outside of everything, all pervasively. If you understand this, consciousness is not in you, you are in consciousness. Understand? When you say you, the entire, that's why Kashi Yam Kashate Kashi means what? This Kashi, this shine in the world which enjoys the status of the existent, including one's body, mind, sense complex, it enjoys existence. It shines where? In the light of consciousness. Where is it consciousness? It's inside and outside of everything. Even though it's inside and outside of everything, it is available for recognition in one's own mind as swarupam of the knower. Only where is it available for recognition is the mind. Doesn't mean it's only there. Understand? That is why we made a temple. Our sanctum sanctorum in South India, North India, East of India, West of India, any temple, Garbhagriham, the sanctum sanctorum is important. That is mind. What is special about it? Everywhere, there's no place, no time, no object where Bhagavan is not. But where is available for recognition? Once you recognize, then you can see everywhere. What you see always is Bhagavan only. What is always is the truth only. The seer is the truth. The seen is truth. Seeing is truth. Everything is truth. Everything is reality. Once you discovered it, then you see only Bhagavan, and then that's the meaning. All that is there is Ishvara. Until you see, Okay, then you need that a temple, sanctum sanctorum. Why? That is where available for recognition. Discover there, understand there, and in the light of the knowledge of that reality, you understand the abstract formless and is in and through everywhere. Understand? Or Kashyami Kashate Kashi. So the only reality, that is source of knowledge. The only knower is abstract formless reality. The knower is also qualification from the standpoint of the known. There's no knower at all. The knower of the knower, knower of the known is the only knower is reality. And that reality is the only source of manifestation of knowledge of anything and everything. Is it clear now? Sarvajna, that's why Jnanaswarupaha. Jnana Rupaha Ishwaraha. We always say, no, Bhagavan, how Bhagavan is? Jnana Rupaha. The form of knowledge is pure knowledge. The essential nature of Bhagavan is knowledge. And how is that Jnanam? Isn't it? We must understand what is Vritti Jnanam, understand what is Swarupa Jnanam. The discovery, discovered, manifest knowledge is vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam means which is name of a thought. Isn't it? When thought itself is very subtle. But here we don't need to worry about it now. The vritti jnanam, we understand how it, that which comes and goes is vritti jnanam. We don't need to worry about all vritti jnanams. Just first and the foremost of the vritti jnanams is what? Knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. And the knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of this is. And the vritti jnanam. Vritti arises, there is knowledge. It comes and goes. But what is it which does not come and go? The knower of jnanam, knower of ignorance. Isn't it? The knower of knowledge in the waking state, the knower of ignorance in the deep sleep state, that knower knows because of the nature of knowing that is abstractness, formlessness, isn't it? That subtleness, that reality is what the source of all knowledge, which is being all pervasive, is implied by the term Atma, and being which is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude, therefore it is implied by the term Brahma. Okay? Source of all knowledge. Therefore, here, and this is the Gnana, this Ganga. Jnana Ganga. The river Ganga is so holy for us in Kashi. Why? Because Ganga symbolizes that Tribhuvana Janani Vyapini Jnana Ganga. Got it now? Tribhuvana Janani Vyapini Jnana Ganga. This Jnana Ganga, the Ganga, not Jala Ganga, the Jala Ganga, but still for us, she symbolizes Jnana Ganga. Flow, constant, continuous flow of manifestations of consciousness. Okay, consciousness. It can be the knowledge of Shastram. That's why Ganga symbolizes Shastram also. Ganga symbolizes any manifestation of any knowledge. Ganga for us is Jnana Ganga, Jnana Swarupini. Understand? So Jnana Ganga, this Jnana Ganga Vyapini. Why? The Ganga symbolizes that only source of all manifestations of all knowledge, the abstract reality, Atma Brahma, therefore all pervasive Vyapini. Ganga is all pervasive. Ganga means what? Because Ganga symbolizes all pervasive consciousness, we say what? Sarva Vyapini, Jnana Ganga, and a Tribhuvana Janani, mother of three worlds. Why mother of three worlds? It is believed. It's believed. It is definitely said in the Shastram. River Ganga flows in all three worlds. All three worlds means what? In heaven it flows, in Bhuloka it flows, in Netherland, okay? Not Holland, okay? Nether. Okay? In heaven, nether, in the Bhuloka. It flows in all three worlds. I don't know why the people named Netherland, okay? Holland would have been better land, isn't it? In here we say Nether.
So the land is actually lower in Netherlands. No coincidence.
Anyway, whatever it is. Okay, so why I'm saying, okay, in higher lokas, in nether lokas, in Bhuloka, in all three worlds, Ganga is flowing. It is believed in Shastra, okay? In Ganga, there, in higher Swarga, her name is Mandakini. And it says Swardhuni. In Bhagavatam, we come across this word Swardhuni. Yesterday, we came across some other word. Remember? Where we? In Ashwastotram, I think I told you. Somewhere. Dhuni. Dhuni means what? Huh? Swardhuni means Ganga. And then Mandakini is Ganga. Of course, she has so many names. Jahnavi, Jannukanya, then, Alakananda. Different names. She has so many names. Ganga is amazing, isn't it? Knowing this, knowing, understanding the meaning of what Ganga stands for is amazing, isn't it? So, Jnana, we say, Tribhuvana Janani. She's called, said to mother of three worlds, mean because she's flowing to all three worlds. But here, this abstract formless reality consciousness, okay, symbolized by Ganga, she is flowing through what? Now, in three states of experience. As the knower obtaining in deep sleep state, in deep sleep state, awareness is there. I guess the knower of unmanifest universe. In dream state, is there as the knower of dream world. In the waking state, is there as knower of the waking world. Jagrat prapancha, stula prapancha, suksha prapancha, and karana prapancha. Isn't it? Knowing three worlds, she is there in our own mind also as the knower of three worlds. Therefore, it's comparison, isn't it? Ganga flows through three worlds. Here, this consciousness symbolized by Ganga also is there flowing, isn't it? Where? In three worlds. In subtle as in subtle manifestation, in gross manifestation, unmanifest universe also, as the knower of the three worlds, this reality is. Got it now? काशी क्षेत्रम शरीरम त्रिभुवन जननी व्यापिनी ज्ञान गंगा. गॉट इट नाउ? भक्ति श्रद्धा गयेयम् भक्ति श्रद्धा गयेयम्. इफ अ पर्सन हैज टू हैव दैट सच अ विजन ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट रियलिटी अल्टीमेट ट्रूथ Paramatma Vastu, then definitely one must have what? Shraddha in the Shastram. The bhakti towards Bhagavan, isn't it? So Bhagavad Bhakti, bhakti devotion one must have, and one must have definitely Shraddha. Shastre Shraddha. Because Shastra is only Pramanam. If we do not want accept Shastra as the Pramanam, now I do not want to use my eyes. I do not want to use my eyes, but I want to see everything in the world. You can try closing your eyes. Okay, if possible, you can see. If not possible, you can do whatever you want to do. There's no choice. You have to have Shraddha, faith in your eyes. You must open, must make use of it and see whether it works or not in seeing light and things. The same way here, in discovering the Swarup truth, here Shastram is the only pramanam for us. Shastram not only reveals what the reality is, Shastram helps you prepare your mind also. See, for you to discover such abstract reality of the mind. See, mind is capable of knowing anything, everything other than itself. It's other, the only anatma. See, mind is amazing instrument of knowledge. Antahkaranam, internal instrument of knowledge, which can be used to know anything within the realm of the objective material universe. But the mind is incapable of knowing its own Swarupam, which is Atma. Atma is Swarupam of the mind. The truth of the mind. Because what is truth of the mind? The mind, Antahkaranam, the mind, the subtle internal instrument of knowledge, we call it, where these emotions, thoughts are there, Manaha, Buddhihi, Chitta, Mahankara. Generally, we can reduce the whole mind to one word, Ahankara. Isn't it? So this mind itself, the knowledge of the existence of the self itself is what? Manaha. Mind only, isn't it? It comes and goes. So this mind is capable of knowing anything and everything within the realm of the objective material universe. What is the swarup of mind? Where does the mind exist? Where does it become manifest? Where does it become undergoes exist? How is it power to undergo changes? How it is in the realm of waking state, the experience of waking state? How it is in the realm of dream, experience of dream state? How is it, isn't it? So where does it have, where does it exist? The swarupa of the mind, we do not know. The swarupa of the mind alone, it has to be arrived at what? A swarupa of I. Isn't it? So the mind is not capable of discovering its own swarupa. Understand? That's why it needs a pramanam. Pramanam is a must, means of knowledge. And the only pramanam is Vedanta Shastra. And one must have Shraddha in the Vedanta Shastra. And the way of life for this mind to discover its own swarupam, be subtler than this mind, it needs certain, isn't it, preparedness. The mind is naturally extroverted. The mind is always behind the sense organs, seeing, doing what is external to it. It can never think of its own swarupam. See, that's why people say within, within, they say. We don't say within and without, okay? So, the mind is always seeing things outside. And attention of the mind has to be withdrawn from the external world of objects and placed in this swarupam. For it must discover it also, isn't it? So the mind, lot of my preparation is needed on the part of the mind to discover its own swarupam. And that preparedness doesn't happen overnight. Again, isn't it? Especially, it's a whole teaching is only for a human being. Isn't it? So how the mind has to be prepared to be eligible, be qualified, to discover its own swarupam, not simply discovering it, to dwell upon it, to assimilate it, to ascertain it, to revel, to remain, not revel the vision of that reality. And to have the luxury of reveling in the vision of the reality. Mind needs preparation. For preparation, there's no shortcut method, which involves much greater effort. The knowledge does not require much effort. Understand? Knowledge, attainment of knowledge of the truth does not take much greater effort, but preparing the mind for the knowledge involves much greater effort, strain, because it's not easy to manage the mind, handle the mind. If mind can handle mind easily, there's nothing like that, isn't it? You don't need to worry about managing others' minds, your own mind. That's what minding one's own business is very important. Why? Because this, I'm not saying Shastram says this. One must learn to manage, handle one's own emotions, one's own, one's own ragadveshas, the one's own attachment, helpless situation. And what, see, duties, doing one's duties with the concern, care, and affection is different from doing things even towards one's own family members, everything with attachment. Attachment means so much you're dependent on the family and friends for your happiness. There's a problem, isn't it? Having concern is different. Doing one's duties with concern and care, affection is different from doing with attachment. With that, they cannot survive. That is not true. Okay? Therefore, it's not that easy to handle the mind. Because mind, it means all these emotions are there. Our biological needs are there. Physical needs, our emotional needs are there. Handling is not, that is why how you can fulfill all your needs, natural urges. Natural needs also. Emotional needs or the physical needs, biological is how you can do, for which you have to perform actions. Actions are binding. Still, even the actions are binding, how to convert the binding actions into non-binding discipline? Convert karma yoga, for which Shastram teaches the way of life. And how to bring this distracted, restless, agitated mind, convert into a calm, quiet mind. Or Shastram teaches Upasanam. That is why worship is recommended, prayer is recommended. Why? When you are praying, attention must be taken away from everything and praise in prayer. Attention taken away from everything, you are doing pujas and worship, you are helped gradually. It is like giving that baby walker for the child to learn to walk. We are helped to bring the distracted attention to make it focus. All these disciplines are given here. But what happens now? We don't want to get out of it. Imagine, after growing the grown-up boy, he wants to use a baby walker. Will he be very happy? Which parent will be happy if the child wants to continue to be use the baby walker? Even when he is able to run, no mother will be happy. In the same way, we have to be prayerful, we have to be worshipful, simultaneously, gradually, we must make efforts to understand much higher subtle facts taught in the Upanishads. So Veda Shastram provides the whole infrastructure needed for a human being to prepare his mind, to purify his mind, to steady his mind, to manage his mind, to handle the emotions, still to live life of dharma. That is why with utmost care, Vedanta Shastram, Veda Shastram prescribes the disciplines. Prescription, Vedic prescription for a human being is perfect prescription. That is why she is a mother. Shruti is a mother. Understand? Ever one must have Shraddha in the Shastram. Okay, I have no doubt. I don't criticize. I'm not skeptical. I just bow to Shastram. Shastram Charanam Gacchami. I accept Shastram Shruti as a mother. Okay. My biological mother, I respect her. I revere her for all the best things she has done for me. But where my biological mother cannot help me, then comes Shruti is the mother. Don't need to worry about if whoever motherless mothers may not worry about now mother is not that, mother is not that. You're fortunate enough to have, you're able to capable of understanding the Shruti, hold, if you're able to hold on to Shruti Mata, you are safe. Absolutely you are safe. Definitely you are not motherless anymore. Okay? And where biological mother stops, that takes over Shruti Mata. It is very important for us to have Shraddha in the Shastram. That is Shruti. Shraddha and Bhaktihi. Okay? Bhaktihi, you know very well, we have the devotion. The total commitment to Bhagavan is Bhakti. And Bhagavan for us is the total commitment to Bhagavan means total commitment to the pursuit of Jnanam. I am living this life ultimately for discovering the truth, discovering Bhagavan. My whole life is ultimately for Bhagavan. There's total commitment to Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the priority for me. Nothing else. Nothing else. And what about my job, my earnings, my living, my looking after my grandchildren, my going, helping my family? They're all your duties. You do all that. What else you can do? Do what is to be done by you, but without attachment. Attachment without being dependent on what you are doing for your happiness and security. The problem is when you help your daughter, help your grandson, grandchildren, or help your family, you become dependent on them for your happiness and security. That is the problem. Do what is to be done by you for anybody within, at the same time, be dependent on jnanam for happiness and security. Doing should not be at the cost of your well-being. You can do anything for anybody, any help for anybody. Nothing should be at the cost of one's own welfare and well-being. Because if you are not well, you will become a burden for other people. When I say well-being, I'm talking about emotional well-being also. Sometimes the name of helping and you get overburdened and you don't know how to handle. Many people develop transference. The transference, you help somebody emotionally. In the bargain, you become dependent on the person who you are helping. Amazing. It's very, the time is very, very dangerous thing. That is why older you are, you must be very, very careful. Very natural to have transference. Because very difficult to bring one's mind to Shastra. And a tremendous amount of punya one must have had to bring one's mind to Shastra. Somewhere some punya has brought you to Shastra. After coming here, and you must see that you do not lose it. Again, somewhere some entanglement can hold you behind, can trap you. That's why when you play the Paramapadam game, no? You know the Paramapadam game? We have a game in India. We use this, we use numbers, there'll be ladders. Sometimes some ladders will help you go up, uplift you. Sometimes you go way up, the snake bites you. Shh. Again, come back. What does it mean? You earn a lot of punyam, but good karma, you go up. Then again, you do mahat papam because arrogance something. Because jnanam is not there. And that papam will pull you back. And you lose even human body, go to adhogati. What some other beautiful, even the games we play, even this whatever you play also to limit your shastra only. I think I should try to get you one before I go. We'll make you all fond of play. It's called Paramapadam. Snakes and ladder, yeah. But in this city here, it's very nice, okay? I want some snake will bring you here, and there'll be some that in lower lokas. Rakshasa will be sitting and then some oil will be boiling. Some frightening pictures are there. Now, what it is, even such things, everything in India reminds you of your being conscious of dharma. So wonderful, isn't it? Anyway, so what I'm saying, even at an elderly, at old age, there's a possibility of being bitten by a snake coming down. So losing the growth, worked very hard to go up, not an easy joke. Entanglement can bring you down anytime. That is why doing one's duties towards anybody is fantastic. Being helpful, what else can you do? You must be helpful. The problem is we do not know how we become emotionally slowly, slowly, slowly. You allow other person to be dependent and you become dependent. Because we're very, very, we're leeches, okay? Ready to leech, get stuck anywhere, anywhere. And we love to be loved. We love to be loved. And wherever you get some care, concern, affection, we get attached. Therefore, being helpful, being friendly is very important. But be very, very careful. Always remember, it is this jnanam, 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 jnanam is the only means of, only source of happiness. And you are the only source of happiness. You are the only source of security. And then for which you need only jnanam to claim to take ownership of your security and happiness. You can never attain it. And rest of the world, you can do anything in the world because you have to do being born here. At the same time, you are not dependent. You are not attached. Yeah, that's a concern should not be mistaken for attachment. You must have concern and do the needful, but don't mistake it for attachment. It can be your own children, your own husband or wife or family, relatives, whoever it is. Friends, people get entangled everywhere. Everywhere, wherever you go, some gum is there. Okay? You get stuck. This emotional entanglement is a dangerous thing. At the same time, oh, I should not get entanglements. I should not become like that. No, when I'm mono, I don't, not, no, not, un, being unfriendly is not detachment. People think you're being unfriendly. Okay, I don't want to talk to other person and this person don't want to go here. That's also not right. That's another form of sickness. Emotion sickness. Therefore, very careful. So, bhakti, when I say bhakti, means commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge. Is commitment to Bhagavan, having Bhagavan is the ultimate priority for my in my life. So having Bhagavan as my ultimate priority in my life should not prevent me from enjoying any worldly pleasures. Any pleasures you can enjoy, one doesn't need to become a sannyasi overnight. Understand now? You can keep your age and requirements. You can live your life, enjoy everything in moderation, in conformity with dharma. The moderation is very important, isn't it? Sometimes our own class, we have very good students, very committed, such wonderful people. But sometimes, no, they're not able to get out of this, the problem of entanglement. Isn't it? You have to learn to grow. Just understand, nothing in the world, there is no sukham. There's no sukham at all in this objective universe. Sukham means yourself. You are the only source of sukham, only source of happiness. You are the only source of security. And that you have to claim, you have to take ownership of it by just discovering, by changing a perspective. Isn't it? But whatever you do, that should not stop you from doing anything good for society also. You can do anything and everything for anybody in conformity with dharma. Again, what is possible within your limits? Because we are not Bhagavan. Again, ahankara comes. I can do this. Let me do whatever is possible for me, genuinely, to the best of your ability. You can do no problem. It's all punya karma. But this is very careful. So bhakti means total commitment to Bhagavan, having Bhagavan as ultimate priority, and discovering Bhagavan, jinyasu bhakti. Discovering Bhagavan means what? Discovering the truth is discovering Bhagavan. Discovering one's own surup means discovering Bhagavan, because Bhagavan, Ishvara, is there as you, yourself. Ishvara hrideshe tishtati, Arjuna. Isn't it? So Bhagavan is there as your own Swarupam. So discovering your Swarupam is discovering Bhagavan. Discovering Bhagavan is discovering the truth of the whole Jagat. That is why we say Brahma Jnanam, Atma Jnanam is Swarupa Jnanam, which is the Jignasu Bhakti. Commitment to the pursuit of Jnanam is commitment to, total commitment to Bhagavan, which is real devotion. Once you are devoted means, naturally, what? Here in this class, I will not talk about other bhakti. Okay? Artha bhakti, arti bhakti. It's all okay. Once you're jignasu bhakti, in this class, I cannot talk about it. We don't need to talk about simple people who worship Bhagavan when they're in trouble, only in trouble. People who worship Bhagavan, you know, seeking Bhagavan's grace for prosperous life. Nothing wrong. Simple people. But in this class, I must say, bhakti he means commitment to Bhagavan is bhakti. But once you attain jnanam, after the attainment of jnanam, you can say what? If the bhakti is there, shraddha in shastram is there, you don't need to worry to go to Gaya. Oh, I haven't gone to Gaya. I haven't gone to Gaya. That pain is need not be there. Bhakti is Gaya. Shraddha is Gaya. Understand? Without having bhakti and shraddha, even if you go to Gaya, that's of no use. I will not say it's not no use at all, but still, it doesn't serve any big, great purpose. Understand? Bhakti, shraddha, Gaya, iyam. This bhakti you have, this devotion you have in your mind, this shraddha you have in your mind is what? As good as going to Gaya. Gaya. Kashi Kshetram Shariram Tribhuvana Janani Vyapini Jnana Ganga Bhakti Shraddha Gayeyam Nija Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayagah నిజ గురు చరణ ధ్యాన యోగ ప్రయాగ. వి హ్యావ్ అనదర్ ప్లేస్ ప్రయాగ. నో బికాస్ వై శంకర్ భగవత్పాద టాక్స్ అబౌట్ గయా అండ్ ప్రయాగ హీ ఇన్క్లూడెడ్ హియర్ బికాస్ హూ ఎవర్ గోస్ టు కాశీ అండ్ దే విల్ లైక్ టు గో టు గయా అండ్ ప్రయాగ. See, Kshetra, ఉత్తర భారత క్షేత్రాటనం ద నార్త్ ఇండియన్ దట్ పీపుల్ గో టు నార్త్ ఇండియా ఫర్ పిల్గ్రిమేజ్ మీన్స్ దే డెఫినెట్లీ దే ఇన్క్లూడ్ గయా నాట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ బుద్ధా సార్ దర్ గంగా సార్ అఫ్కోర్స్ బుద్ధా సార్ దర్ సమ్ నాట్ సింగ్ నో గయా బికాస్ బుద్ధ గయా But Gaya is there. Of course, we have Gaya, and they go to Prayaga, go to Kashi, and come back. So therefore, he included Gaya also here. Understand? We have Bhakti and Shraddha, that is Gaya. Nija Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayagaha. And if we don't, so dwelling upon Nija Guru Charanam, dwelling upon the feet of one's guru, may being meditative of the feet of one's guru is prayaga. Again, another problem comes now. Meditating upon the feet of the guru means what? Keeping the feet of the guru and meditating upon it? No. The feet always stands for jnanam only. Okay? Which means being committed to, we are committed to the pursuit of jnanam is enough. Your shraddha in shastram, how will shraddha become your, how will shastra, just simply having shraddha in shastram will not bring shastra jnanam to you. It needs to be unfolded, isn't it? So having shraddha in the teachers, the teaching, the teacher also who unfolds the matter of the shastra. So being meditative of the teaching of the shastram. You have shraddha in the shastram, then being meditative of the subject matter unfolded by the teacher. Always. I have shraddha in shastram, I respect Shruti Mata. People in North India, what they do, Bhagavad Gita books are sold. Okay? Whole 700 verses in some tiny paper, tiny letters. They print and they fold it and make it nice. No, they put a nice locket. Okay? That one silver locket is they sold everywhere. They'll be selling Rishikesh. Gita. So people buy this Bhagavad Gita locket and wear it. Shraddha. That means what? Shraddha in Shastra. It will not, what is in the locket should go to your head, isn't it? Which means it must be unfolded. So again, one must find a competent teacher and one must study systematically the teaching. It means always being in association with the teacher who unfolds the teaching. Again, the guru is the one who helps you become emotionally independent. If any guru makes you emotionally dependent, and Swamiji used to say, Rugu, not guru. Rugu means what? Okay. Because the teaching must be given importance, not the individual. So here the teacher is revered for the teaching. So being meditative on the subject matter unfolded by the teacher is being respectful to the teacher. Because people can't even relate to somebody as a teacher. Still, the problem is the teacher, sometimes the teachers are very nice because they give time, because they should not run away, isn't it? So we're kind and compassionate, accommodative, give them enough time. Some time or other they'll come to Shastra. But they don't come to Shastra at all. No? That takes time. It is possible. That is why the associations should be such that definitely, gradually, one must come to Shastra study. So here, Nija Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayagaha means having reverence for the teacher, expression of one's reverence for the teacher must be such a way that one is contemplative upon the subject matter of the Shastra unfolded by the teacher. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Meditation, the discipline of meditation. So, the being given to the discipline of meditation upon one's own, the feet of one's guru, literal translation. What it implies is being given to the discipline of meditative upon the feet of one's guru means be meditative upon the subject matter of the shastram unfold by the teacher with reverence to the teacher. The reverence is very important. That is what is prayaga. Don't need to go to prayaga. Understand? If possible, you can go, no problem. That is, you should not go at all. If you are not able to go, don't need to worry. Stay with the Shastram. Be meditative upon subject matter of the Shastram. The Prayaga is flowing in your house. Then, Vishvesaha Ayam Turiyaha. Oh, I didn't go to Kashi. I haven't had darshan of Vishvesha. Vishwanatha Swami. Vishvesha, Vishwasi Ishaha Vishvesaha. The Lord of the universe, Ishvara. Already you understood the truth. That's different. Now, Ishvara. You want Bhagavan, Ishvara. Isn't it? Who is Vishvesha, the Lord? The Lord is always there in every human mind. The only Ishvara, who alone is in the form of everything, is always there. Isn't it? As the Turiyaha. Turiyaha, like the fourth person. Like the fourth person. In everyone's mind. In all. As an experiencer. In all three states of mind. See. The Atma. The all-pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost self is Atma. Isn't it? Not. See. Reality is all-pervasive. But is obtaining as the innermost essence. As the content of. As the sarup of I. Isn't it? That Atma is Vishveshaha. How is that Atma? Atma is there as a Turiyaha. Turiyaha means what? The fourth. Why Atma is the fourth? Like the fourth person. Atma is there like the fourth person as the knower of the waking state, as the knower of dream state, as the knower of the deep sleep state. Okay? As though like the fourth person. Okay, there's an over, not the fourth person, like the fourth person, who is distinct from three states of experience, like the fourth person, obtaining as the experiencer in all three states of experience, being distinct from all three states of experience, like the fourth person, who's there, always is what? Ishvara, the Lord, Vishwanatha, Vishveshaha. So I am means this. The third person singular pronoun, this indicates all pervasive reality obtaining as the nearest self in the Turiya. I am Vishvesha Turiyaha. And who is Turiyaha? Sakala Jana Manas Sakshi Bhutaha Antaratma. Beautiful. Antaratma means what? All pervasive reality obtaining as innermost self. Obtaining Vesarupa of the knower I. Antaratma. Sakshi Bhutaha. Who is in the form of the witness in all three states of experience? Jagradavasthayam, Sopnavasthayam, Sushuptyavasthayam. Sakshi Bhutaha San. Who is there as a witness? This Antaratma, the innermost essence, is there as the witness, Sakshi, who is in the form of wit, in the form of witness in all three states of experience. In all these three, constantly changing, mutually exclusive, discontinuous states of mind, experiences, unchangingly, isn't it? Permanently, one who is there as the witness is Antaratma. Who is Vishveshaha? Who is the Lord of the universe? Antaratma. Manasakshi Bhutaha. Witness of the mind in all its three states of experience. And in whose mind? Sakala Jana. The entirety of it. Okay. The minds of all human beings. So very beautiful. Okay. Vishveshoyam turiyasakala janamana sakshi bhutantaratma. विश्वेशोऽयं तुरीयः सकल जन मनः साक्षीभूतोऽन्तरात्मा. अयं विश्वेशः कः? विश्वेशः अयं तुरीयः. कः तुरीयः? सकल जन मनः साक्षीभूतः अन्तरात्मा. I need not translate, having heard so many times. Sakala jana manas sakshi bhutaha antaratma ayam turiyaha vishveshaha. Vishveshaha kaha? Start from there. Okay. Sakala jana manas sakshi bhutaha antaratma ayam turiyaha vishveshaha. If everything resides in my own mind here, then in my own system here, when I say body, my own system, body here, punaha anyat tirtham kimasti, where is another purifying place, holy place? Which other holy place is there than this? Means there is no other holy place. This itself is a holy place, if you understand. So, what is emphasized here? One must have, what is the important lesson? Let me tell you. One must have, first of all, Purushartha Nischaya. This moksha is my choiceless goal. I'm living this goal to discover that moksha is already there. I have no choice, choiceless ending. I know until and unless I discover that moksha, there's no way of freeing myself totally from afflictions. Life will be irrespective of what I have, in spite of what I have, irrespective of what I do not have, there will be, life will be life of pairs of opposites. I do have to, okay, how much ever I have wisdom, knowledge, wealth, money, manpower, money power, whatever I have, every human being has to choicelessly go through life of pairs of opposites. I don't want one set of pairs of opposites. I want all desirable. You don't want all undesirable, means it's impossible. If you're born a human being, okay, with how much of punyam you have in your account, still there will be sanchitam, we do not know what we have, their life will be life of paths of opposites. Shastram says, Manushya Janma means every Manushya is a Mishraha. Okay? Mishra is a Brahmin surname. Okay? But still Mishraha means every human being is a Mishra only. One who has mixture of both Punyam and Pavam. The proportion may vary from person to person. We all have Punya Pavam Mishra. We all Punya Pavam Mishraha. All of us have to go through. Don't think only that person goes through, this person goes through. Every human being, irrespective of where you are living, how you are living, what your family background is, what, how much manpower you have, money power you have, one has to go through life of pairs of opposites. When there'll be undesirable situations, there'll be suffering, afflictions. It's not just only one person has. The reasons may differ from person to person, but life is life of pairs of opposites. But we do not want the unpleasant side of the life. If you don't want, try for moksha. No, I don't mind going. Then be here. Don't worry. Understand? So, jnanam is the only means of freeing oneself from this bondage of samsara. You have to understand that there is a problem of bondage. People don't even recognize that samsara is there. Samsaraha means I must have had many, many, many previous lives. Not I must have had. I did have many, many, many previous lives. And now I am born. It is not my choice. When you are born choicelessly, your parentage is your choiceless, not your choice. Your birth is not your choice. Death is not your choice. In between what you go through is not your choice. I want to live for more time, you know. No choice. Parabdhayans had to go. So there is no choice here. This one is bondage. You have no freedom here. You are not free to decide when to die, or when not to die. You are not free to decide when to be born, whom to be born. You have no choice. There's no freedom for you, no freedom for you to choose what you should go through. Now that even though you have certain faculty of choice, you have freedom, choice over actions. Only you have freedom, only at least in doing karma, you have choice. You can use your will, you can use your knowledge of right and wrong, you can choose to do right. Even there, you have no choice. No? You cannot, if you go against dharma to fulfill it, there's no choice. You will accumulate papa. Therefore, there's no freedom. This is what is bondage. Okay, death happens. Is it an end of your life? No, it is not an end. Again, you will be born again, definitely. Jatasahi mrityuho dhruvaha mrityasa janma dhruvam, you'll be born again. Again, you have to be going through the same life of paths of opposite, the new set of people, a new environment. Exactly where you had to be born, which will be conducive for your Punya Baba, you'll be born again. This is the samsara. We do not know this problem. It's not just life doesn't come to an end now itself. Therefore, I want freedom from bondage. I want moksha. Means what? Commitment to the pursuit of jnanam is the only means. Because the whole bondage is because of erroneous perception. See, the perspective change is important, for which all that you need is jnanam. And for that jnanam, shastram is the only pramanam. And I had to surrender myself to shastram. Shastram saranam gacchami. And that shastram had to study with the commitment, not with the shraddha. It's not for time passing. It's with all seriousness, I must study the shastram. And at the same time, doing in the light of the teaching, I should live my life, or I should know how to live my life, how to decide my priorities. What should be my priorities? What are my priorities? Because everything is important. Everything is so important. The whole world is ready to drink, okay, grab, and what to say? Grab your energy and time and money, everything. The whole world is there because people are helpless. Not that they're bad. Their minds are like that. Everyone has that. So you must have be again having concern for others also. If you do not go against dharma, that's the best thing you do. Knowingly, you do not do any harm to anybody. Even stranger comes, you can be nice to the person, no problem. But you may want to be very, very highly intelligent and prudent to withdraw oneself. Not that easy. Not that easy. Isn't it? Therefore, you do any seva you do for anybody, anything, nothing will be at the cost of your spiritual progress. But what happens sometimes, name of spiritualism, the seva, you lose, you neglect yourself. Self-negligence is the first papa. Self-negligence is a papa. People don't know that. Yeah. So it is what is said here. This must be the priority. For the commit, then how I live my life? Once you're given the study of the shastram, understand the teachings, you live your life, your priorities must be very clear in life, then your lifestyle you follow must be keeping the teaching, there's no problem. Then what happens? Gaya is with you, Kashi is with you, Prayaga is with you, Vishvesha is there as yourself. Vishvesha is always there as yourself. And you can say, understand also what? Vishvesha, who is in you, is there in everyone also. You can see, whether others see or not, you can see, understand. Same Vishvesha is there in me. Vishvesha, who is in me, is there in everyone. I am Vishvesha myself, that become later on. Isn't it? Only Vishvesha is there as the whole Jagat. So, the understanding must be there. Okay. Yadi madiye dehe, means mama dehe, sarvam vasati, everything resides, is in my own body, my own system here. Punaha, anyat tirtham kimasti. Okay, Anyat Teertham, other sanctifying, purifying factor. Where is it? Where is the other purifying factor? Which is the other purifying factor? If everything abides in my system, in me, in the so-called body, mind, in this, if everything abides in this body, then where is or which other pilgrim center is? Now you are your you are yourself Punyakshetra. You are yourself with all this body, mind, this complex, a symbol of the whole. Whole Jagat is here, the truth, anything is here. Isn't it? Kashi Kshetram Shariram, Kashi Kshetram Shariram, Tribhuvana Janani Vyapini Jnana Ganga, 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 Bhakti Shraddha Gayeyam, Bhakti Shraddha Gayeyam, Nija Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayaga, Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayaga, Nija Guru Charana Dhyana Yoga Prayaga, Dhyana Yoga Prayaga, Vishveshoyam Turiyas Sakala Janamanas Sakshi Bhutantaratma, Vishveshoyam Turiyas Sakala Janamanas Sakshi Bhutantaratma, Vishve Vishveshoyam Turiyas Sakala Janamanas Sakshi Bhutantaratma, Turiyas Sakala Janamanas Sakshi Bhutantaratma, Dehe Sarvam Madiye Yadi Vasati Punastirthamanyat Kimasti, Sarvam Madiye Yadi Vasati Punastirthamanyat Kimasti, Dehe Sarvam Madiye Yadi Vasati Punastirthamanyat Kimasti. Manyat Kimasti. Can you help break the small pause there? Dehe Sarvam Madiye Yadi Vasati. Dehe Sarvam Madiye Yadi Vasati. Punastirthamanyat Kimasti, Tirthamanyat Kimasti, Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om Tat Sat, Sri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.